to show you my weakness. is the God of the valley.
You saw my condition. right there. Run to the Father.
Running to life from Yesterday we had an awesome men's event here. The theme of the day was keep climbing. And standing in front of you, people at the front, people in the pews, you know, our lives are full of peaks and valleys and peaks and valleys. And the enemy wants to stick us down in that valley. He doesn't want us to get to the peak. But we have got to purpose in our hearts and our minds and our soul to keep on climbing. And when we get to that peak, you know, we can give praise and thanks to God for bringing us through and making us stronger. Because when we go through something, you know what? It's just like working out your arm, your muscles. When you fatigue that muscle and then you let it heal, guess what? The next time it's a little bit what? It's a little bit stronger, okay? It's the same thing with us. We go through things. We think, you know, nobody's faced what I faced. But guess what? There's somebody out there in this room that's probably faced the same problem that you faced, and they've overcome it. And how did they do it? Hopefully, one of the main reasons they did it is because they have Jesus in their life. Amen. Amen. So I want you to sing that one more time, Krista, that chorus line of that song. Whatever you've got that you're dealing with, whatever problem you're facing, lay it down right here. You're not fighting this battle alone. There's people all around you that can help you. God Almighty can help you. Sing it one more time, Krista.
I won't be shaken.
If you'd like, you know, we were not created to be victims, okay? We're created to be warriors. We're created to be overcomers. And this world is a hostile place, you know, to us a lot of times. But listen, there's nothing out there that Jesus doesn't know about. There's no temptation that we're going through that he didn't already overcome. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man." You're not alone. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure. So no matter where you're at, don't get stuck in this victim mentality that there's no way out for you. You always have a way out. The Bible says it. If the Bible says it, guess what? It's true. There's always a way out for you. And look no further than the people around you. You know I've been through some things. We've all been through things. And we think when we're in that low spot, this is it. You know, this is the end of it for me. But God has more for us. He wants us to be warriors, fighters, and overcomers. And guess what? If you're on your job and you have a problem, right, who do you look to for help? Do you look to the guy who just started the day before? Or do you look to the guy who's been there for 30 years, who's been through some things? You want that guy who's been through some things on your side, right? So we all have a story, and we've all been through things, and we can all lift each other up and help each other along the way. Amen? Amen. Well, it was an awesome job by the worship team this morning. Really felt an anointing up here on everyone. Good to have Andy back in the house. Everybody happy to see Andy back? Come on, say, we love you, Andy. And these guys, I mean, you know, again, you don't know what everybody's been dealing with. He and his family, I mean, hey, they've overcome some mountains just in the past few weeks. So, you know, life is steady out there rolling along, and we have got to know that we've got to put our faith in God, put our faith in Jesus. He's letting us go through some things, but he's doing it to make us stronger and braver and better warriors for the kingdom. Amen. All right. So at this time, it's time for our tithes and offerings. The buckets are up here on the front. Please make your way up and deposit in the buckets. You can also give online. And pay attention to the screen while you're giving the offer. Ms. Denise has some announcement slides. We've got a lot of events coming up, so pay attention to that also. Thank you.
Let's worship God. Come on. That's who you are, Lord. You're a way maker. Come on. Path in the desert. Come on, somebody. Path in the desert. Path in the desert. God opens up a place for you to go. Hallelujah. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. How many of you have ever been told a lie by somebody? Not God. He's the promise keeper. Come on. He never will let you down. Come on. Give him praise today. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord say, I am the promise keeper. I am the one who will never leave you nor forsake you, says the living God. I am the one who makes a way where there seems to be no way. I have not failed you. I will not fail you, declares the Lord. This is an evil time in which you're alive, declares the living God, but you placed your faith and trust in me. I will never let you down. I will never forsake you. I am the Lord your God. I love you with a love that is everlasting. I love you with a love that is certain. I love you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Come on, somebody say this with me. Man, I love this church. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. I love this church. God is good. And you know what the church is? The church is you. It's you. It's every one of you. Hallelujah. I watched last night for the first time in a long time. I don't know. I was sitting watching things on YouTube. And how many of y'all just YouTube crazy like me? Anybody? Come on. Well, when TV's no good, you got to use YouTube, right? And I was sitting for a moment with some dear friends who are right here. This is Brian Bissett and his lovely wife, Harp. You guys stand up and wave at these people this morning. The wonderful folks, come on. God's people, wonderful people. And we were talking about things that God has done. And I said, yeah, you know, God's done some incredible things in my life. And we turned back to a story from about 2007. I think it was the first time I was ever on TBN. And I got listening to it. And I realized that God has, in fact, done some crazy, incredible things in this little town of Ahoskie. Amen. Do you know you're not supposed to be worshiping together in the same building? You know that. Because it's black church, white church. Come on. It is. In fact, about 5.7% of churches in America, terra firma, on the earth, 5.7% are really culturally diverse. The rest of them are divided. And guess what? They do it all in the name of Jesus at 11 o'clock on Sunday. Dr. King, remember Dr. King said, the most segregated hour of any week is 11 o'clock on Sunday. That's what Dr. King said. How many of y'all know you look around this building and that's just a lie from hell, okay? Because God's people come together. And I love together. I love together because the psalmist said, behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It is as if the oil of Hermon were, the oil of, was running down Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. He says, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Because he says, you look at that last verse, most powerful verse in the whole psalm. He says, for there the Lord commands his blessings. I underline the word there and say, where? Verses 1, 2, and 3. Where the people will come together in unity. God's blessing the diverse congregation in America today. That's the church he's blessed. COVID hasn't stopped the church. COVID hasn't stopped the church. And it's not going to for those who will walk in faith and cast out fear. Amen. God's going to do incredible things. Amen. Give the Lord praise today. Well, what an incredible weekend we've had thus far. Hats off to our ladies. Some of you traveled to the Gather Conference in Greenville, Winterville area. And I so appreciate you going there. Pastor Joy appreciates you going to that conference. That's something that she has always loved and appreciated year after year. And so I thank you for doing that. Also, thank you to the many men that gathered here yesterday. I think we had 26 carpenter shop guys here in the house yesterday. What? Listen, come on now. 26. There were 6 men's conferences yesterday in the state of North Carolina, all doing the same thing. And the number one location, come on, the number one location in the whole state was Ahoskie, North Carolina. Come on. that's just amazing. That just lights my fire. Come on now. Let me just share with you. You've seen them scrolling overhead, but let me just tell you, ladies. Pastor Joy has planned for you a fall fun connection. We're talking about tailgates, s'mores, fire burning. Come on, all the things that make fall the fall. We're just praying for cold weather. Come on, just come on, bring the cold weather so we're not sitting out there 80 degrees with a fire going. Come on. So mark that down on your calendar. Friday night, October the 1st at 6:30 right here at Carpenter Shop Church. That's going to be a fun time for the ladies. You guys that have got pickup trucks, Joel Tapscott, myself, other y'all got some Ford F-150s. Come on, somebody. Get your truck cleaned up. We need your tailgate. Amen. So let's do that. Yes, sir. Mr. James Morgan, I need that truck polished up real good. Come on. Let's just get them cleaned up because the ladies are going to need them that night because that's where the buffets are going to be set up in the back of the truck. Come on. All right. Starting the 26th, we're going to do about 4 services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. You know, God dropped this young man into my life in an incredible way. His name is Wesley Agri. Wesley, I've never met him, amen. I just met him in the spirit, that's it. And Wesley is a young man. He's a great preacher of the gospel, and he has a tremendous track record in the prophetic, and God seeing miracles happen through his life. And he's just a young guy that's just on fire for God. And so I invited him to come and join us. Just an incredible series of a couple of meetings there that I believe the Holy Ghost set up. So we're going to have Wesley here on Sunday the 26th. And then our friend Doug Eccles is in the region for about 2 weeks doing revivals in Elizabeth City and Columbia and different places. And I asked Doug to come back here for Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And we're just going to believe God for restoration. Amen. Repairing things that are broke down. Come on. If you know anybody, I need you, amen, to engage people to get to this house. And I need you to sacrifice. We can't do it without you. You get here, you plan to pray and participate and be present, and God's going to help us here. We're going to do this thing, and God's going to help us. Let me see if I've forgotten anything at all. That's a nice picture of my dog sitting on the sofa. Bless you, Bogey. There's a membership meeting this coming Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, the 22nd, in the CSIC Cafe at 6 p.m. Very casual, laid back. This is how we do it at Carpenter Shop. If you're not a member of the church and would like to participate in church membership, please join us on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. It's a great time for me to just roll the tape back and tell you how Carpenter Shop got started. And, you know, there are 3 existing buildings that are still standing today that used to be Carpenter Shop. And one of them's just about to fall over to the ground, but it's still standing. When God used a man by the name of Fenton Jones and spoke to him to come to Ahoskie and plant a Pentecostal church. And here we are today. Come on. Amen. We're standing on the shoulders of other people who answered the call of God. And what an incredible story. So we'll share that with you on Wednesday night. If you want to join the church, we don't need a whole lot from you. Just your name, address, social security, credit check, background check, criminal background check. That's all we need. Nothing major. Okay. I'm just kidding you. Just come and meet us here at 6 o'clock. Well, God is good, amen? Amen? I'm just ready to settle in here and share a word with you that some of you men, you've heard this yesterday, but in a different version. So I really prayed about the third message of this series, and I just feel like I need to share this experience with the congregation today. And I really knew that. But sometimes you just appreciate a confirmation, and the words that came out of Gary's mouth when he was on this platform a few moments ago, he quoted a scripture that is a key part of this message today. So I want to speak a message to you on the third part of seeing revival clearly. I've given this a subtitle, Understanding the Path. Come on, Understanding the Path. Have you ever inquired to somebody about a destination, a location? You know, you ask somebody where a certain place was. If you're a hunter, maybe it was you're looking for the honey hole, you know, where the ducks are going or where the deer are feeding. Or you're looking for a good place to ride a four-wheeler and you like to get off the path, you know, and just kind of do your flips and your mud holes and all that good stuff. Or maybe you're looking for a good restaurant, you know, somewhere an hour and a half from a hospital. That's usually what you have to do to find a good restaurant, all right? So you know a place that you just need some help finding. And they come back with you with this classic directive. Oh, you can't miss it. I'll tell you how to get out. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. You just turn left on Lizard Lick Road, go about 3.5 miles, take a right on Goose Pond. And once you come through that curve, you'll see all these junk cars on the side of the road. There's a path over there. You take that path, Pastor. You can't miss it. How many of you know you can miss it? All right? You can miss it. In fact, let me just say this. You will miss it. All right? I don't care if you know where Goose Pond is or Lizard Lick Road or where. You're going to miss it. And all I can say is thank God for GPS. Amen? GPS. What is GPS? It is the Global Positioning System. How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all never heard that before? Global Positioning System. There are only 4 satellites above us that cover the Earth. 4 satellites that basically take us and they ping little signal down to where you are, you know. And you, all you got to do is have your phone on. How many of y'all just couldn't go anywhere without this? Come on, you just couldn't. You got a little global positioning system right there to your phone. And you couldn't make it without it. And when you need to find that place, and guess what? They're not perfect, okay? How many of y'all know you can get messed up? I remember Pastor Joy one day. She was over in Tyrrell County. And she called me up. She said, honey, I got a problem. I said, what's that? She said, I'm running out of gas. I said, well, honey, I'm in a Husky, okay? You're where? She said, I'm over here in Tyrrell County. I've seen bears. I'm in the woods, near the woods and all that stuff. She said, I'm way back over here in Tyrrell County. I said, well, use your GPS. She said, you don't understand. I searched for the nearest gas station. I came to the end of a dirt road. I'm staring at nothing but oak trees, and says, I have arrived at my destination. And there ain't no gas pump here, okay? There ain't no gas pump here. And I said, you know, Father, in the name of Jesus, I started speaking in tongues. And she said, I found it. She said, it's about 1/2 mile from here. She said, I just kept on rolling and riding. And she said, there it is. And before it was there, it ain't. Now, come on. But global positioning system can let you down. But you can make a decision to go against GPS and say, oh, I know where I'm at. And you turn here. And then the lady in the background says, recalculating. You ever heard her before? She's recalculating or rerouting, and she's sending you another direction. Amen? Well, can I just tell you something? God kind of works that way for us too. You can understand that kind of reality of trying to get you from where you are, here we go, to where you need to be, is something that God is concerned about. God's got his hand on your life. You just let that sink in just a moment. God's got his hand on your life, okay? And you are not where you are by accident. Some of you are frustrated right now where you are, where you find yourself, what you don't have, where you're not that you thought you would have already been. You know, come on, let's just be honest. Some of y'all are very frustrated about those facts. But I'm here to tell you that God is like a global positioning system, but he's a godly positioning system, and he knows exactly where you are. He's omniscient. Come on. The Bible teaches us that God has 3 attributes that you and I can't have. You can have love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control. You can have all of those, and I hope you have them. But here's 3 you can't have. These are the parts of God that he does not transfer to you, even though you wish you could have them. He's omniscient. Some of you may think you're omniscient, you may think you're all-knowing, but you're not, okay? You're not. Somebody said, well, I'm married. Somebody like, don't start an argument right here in church, okay? Because no one is all-knowing except God, okay? He's omniscient. He's all-knowing, and he knows where you are right now, okay? You may think he's 1,000,000 miles away, but God knows where you are. He's also omnipresent. This is one that I wish I could have, okay? He's everywhere present. You can't go anywhere that God is not already there. Amen. David said, you can take me to the lowest part of the grave, and there God is, okay? He's not going to forsake us. He's everywhere present. He's capable of being right there with you no matter where you find yourself, on course or way off course. God knows where you are. And then here's the beautiful thing. God is omnipotent. Omnipotent. He's all strength, all power. I'm just studying out loud here, okay? He's all powerful. He can do this no matter the mountains that you have to climb, no matter the valleys that you have to go through. God can just have the awareness of where you are. He's right there with you, and he has the power to bring you out and take you to the next place, okay? No matter what decisions you've made, or maybe some that you should have made that you didn't make, you're going to have those mountain experiences. You're going to have those rough places in your path. And the NIV has Jesus saying this in John 16, verse 33. He says this. He says, I've told you these things so that in me, somebody say in me. In Jesus, in me, in relationship with him. Some of you need to listen up, because some of you sitting here don't have relationship with Jesus. Okay? Just being in the church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. It's not going to happen until you find Christ in your heart and resign to yourself. Then you do not know him. Okay? He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have, I've underscored this, peace. At least for myself, I underscored it. In this world, he says, you will have what? Trouble. Listen, he's giving you a heads up. In this life, you will have trouble. The word there in the King James is what? Tribulations, hardships, difficulties, tough, rough places, mountains, pits, valleys. You can use synonymous terms and not do any damage to the text, okay? He says that while you and I are passing through this world, we're going to have these situations, but you can know this. If you place your faith in him, then you can be. He describes it in the message. I love it the way he describes it in the message. Check this out. I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be, watch this, unshakable. Amen? Unshakable. Nothing can shake you. Come on, guys. If your faith is in him, nothing can shake you. Okay? I'm telling you, go ahead. Yeah, worship God. Nothing can shake you if you're truly relying and trusting in him. If your faith and trust is in him, you can be what? Assured. You can have assurance that nothing else can grant you. I'm preaching to myself this morning, and I'm enjoying this message. Come on. You can be unshakable, and you can be assured. And then here, he puts a parenthetical statement in here. And also, you can be what? Deeply at peace. I should be upset, you know? I should be all unglued, but I'm not. Why? Because my life is in Christ. Let me just challenge you. One day, when you got some time, you go through the New Testament, and you find every place in the Bible where it says, in Christ. And you will find some precious, powerful promises, I promise you. In Christ. That means that your life is rooted and grounded in him. I didn't say in the church, okay? In Christ. You got to get that straight. And you got to make sure that your life is in Christ. And in Christ. And I want to take a few moments, and I want you to hear from the scriptures. I want you to hear from the Lord today about three mountains that every one of us should climb. How many of y'all like to mountain climb? Anybody? I don't. I like to ride up to the top, okay? And it's nice when you can just ride, you know. But sometimes God places you in postures and positions where you have some climbing to do, okay? You have some climbing to do. Listen, if you're successful, you didn't get there on an easy ride. You ever heard somebody say, oh yeah, he's born with a silver spoon in his mouth? Anybody ever heard that? I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. We had a plastic fork, and that was it, okay? I mean, I came up the poor way. Many of you did. I remember black and white television with rabbit ears and Reynolds wrap. Come on. I remember that. I remember no air conditioning. I do. I remember a sandwich every Saturday for lunch, and I remember taking a bath once a week. On a Saturday night, you washed your hair. I remember that. Now I got an 8-foot double sprayer unit in my house that just has body sprays on it, and I'm standing in there just taking a shower, you know, with a big old half-inch thick glass door, you know. I got a really nice bathroom. I got a stool in there that I can sit on and just say, shh. Some of y'all are just backing away from the imagery right now. I understand that. All right. But listen, Brian's shaking his head like, what will Pastor come up with next? He just never know, man. TMI. But listen, I didn't come up that way. I remember hard times. I remember challenging moments. But I can tell you this, God has kept me, man. God has kept me. And God has kept you. Okay? Every step of the way, God has kept me. And I've been through some moments when I should have been really shook up. But God has caused me to be standing steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen? And there's some mountains that you and I need to be able to face. The first of those mountains is Mount Calvary. These are biblical mountains. You'll find them in the Bible. The first mountain that you need to climb is Mount Calvary. Because you know why? Because Mount Calvary is representative of the mountain of salvation. That's where it all took place. It is finished. And he stretched out his arms on Calvary's tree willingly. And he died and he shed his blood so that you and I might have life. It was sin that caused Adam and Eve to do what they did in the garden, that you and I were born with the same nature. Okay? We're an offspring of Adam and Eve all the way back into the Garden of Eden. Sin was the big problem. Remember the story? Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, and they were told what they could do, and they were told what they couldn't do. I'll tell you what you can do. You can take care of the garden here. You can have all the things in it that are to eat except one tree in the middle of the garden. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat from that. But everything else you can have. Okay? Squash, cucumbers, all right? Watermelons, cantaloupes. Come on, help yourself. Have everything you want, but don't eat anything from that tree in the middle. And guess what they did? They ate. They saw that it was producing something that seemed to be good, and so they partook of it. And until that point, nakedness was not an issue. Okay? What's the first thing you do when you're in a room and you're butt naked and somebody comes in on you? What's the first thing you do? You know, you don't go, "Hey," you know, that's not what you do. Not me, okay? I'm covering up. You know why? Because I'm ashamed. Come on. I got clothes on for the same reason you do, because you do not need to see what's under here, okay? I got one amen over here. It was kind of weak, but you don't. You know why? Because you know what? We have a desire that is innate to cover up, all right? We don't wear FUBU and Jordache and all these names because of the name. You could snatch the tag off, man. I get my clothes from Walmart. Come on, I do. Pastor, you got a nice shirt on. Walmart, $9.99. Why am I going to pay somebody $69.99 when Walmart has it for $99? I don't have the same tag on it, but guess what? It still covers up my nakedness. And it don't bust my pocketbook wide open either. Okay? And so Adam and Eve, the first thing that they do when they hear the Bible says that the Lord God comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he has a question, "Adam, where art thou? Where are you, boy?" Now, he wasn't asking a geographical question, because God, I already told you in his attributes, he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He has the power to know these things. He's omniscient. He has all knowledge. So he knows the whereabouts of Adam. He's naked over there in the bushes. because he's ashamed for the first time. Before, it was a birthday suit. It wasn't a big deal. You just walked around naked. But after you've cut yourself off from communion with God, connection with God, then God's presence causes you shame. All right? That's why when you do something wrong, as all of us have, when you do something that's kind of shady, like some people call it left-handed stuff. I don't like that. You know why? Because I'm left-handed, okay? Yeah, he's smoking one of them left-handed cigarettes, okay? I don't care which hand you hold it in, if it's the wrong kind of, you know, all of them are the wrong kind, but if it's the, you know, one of them homemade ones, okay, it's left-handed, okay? But if you do something wrong, what I've discovered about sin is it has guilt built in with it, okay? That's called what? Conscious. Conscious. It's, you know if it's wrong. You know, if you're in a relationship with a person and you're not married and you find yourself, you know, off the path somewhere, moonshining in the windshield, you get the picture, and you go too far, you know, you're playing baseball, you're on second base now, okay? And you just, you know that's wrong, okay? Because until you get this, you ain't got no business unzipping anybody's pants, okay? Until you get this ring right here. You say, well, you know, we're grown. People do that today. No, they don't. Not everybody. People who live godly lives don't live together when they're not married. That was weak, y'all. You're looking at people. You know, here's the thing about it. I look at people every week of my life, and I really don't care if you fit into that category or not. Because I'm not here to make you happy or pat you on the back and tell you what a swell job you're doing as Joe Christian. I'm here that when I stand before God, he can look at me and say, Wallace, well done, good and faithful servant. You preached the truth, okay? Now, if you're not married, guess what? We hope that you one day will, okay? We hope that you one day will get married. If you ask me to marry, you know what I'm going to say? Absolutely, I'd love to do your wedding. Hey, one thing I will do is tell you the truth. And another thing I will do is not judge you when you're not walking in the truth. I'm not, okay? You know why? Because I love you. I love you. And I know that my righteousness is as filthy rags before God, just like yours. So we'd be better off if we just state the truth, okay? And here's what I've discovered. If you are doing something that's not pleasing to God, built in with it is that level of consciousness that you already know this is not right. And you're trying, you know, you're working on it, you're trying to tweak it, but you hadn't got there yet. Can I just tell you something? There's some things in my life that God's still tweaking, okay? I'm not, well, I wish I could live like the pastor. No, you don't. No, you don't. To whom much is given, much is required. My standards are stricter than yours, okay? If you carry the call of God on your life, you have a higher set of standards for yourself than the people you're sitting next to. Okay? Now let that one settle in for just a second. That's heavy. Okay? But here they are. They've sinned against God and they're naked. And the Lord God comes walking in the cool of the day and he throws that spiritual question out. Where are you? What is he asking? He's saying, where are you in light of that one commandment that I gave you? Okay? Where are you in light of that? Wow. That's heavy, man. I just told you, no eating from that one. Now look at you. I know, right? Okay? That's why we're sitting here with fig leaves all over our midsection. Because we're ashamed. And the Bible says, I think it's in Genesis 3:21, somewhere in there. Yeah, 3:21. The Lord God made garments. God became a tailor. And he fashioned garments of skin, okay? What is that? Deer hide, raw hide. I don't know what kind of animal he killed. Lamb, maybe. I don't have any idea. He fashioned garments of skin for Adam and Eve, and he done what? He clothed them. Now, if he pulled the skin off an animal, what did he do? Okay? He laid the foundation. Listen to me. He laid the foundation for Hebrews 9:22. Shh. For there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Man, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost up in here. There is no forgiveness without blood. And so that's why on a hill far away, that's why we have the cross. Because when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he offered redemption to the world. That's the gospel. He offered redemption. It's not by church going, though we're going to get to that mountain today, and it's important, but it's not for salvation. You cannot go to church the entire year and still go to heaven. Okay? It's not required. It's expected, but it's not required for salvation. This is the mountain of salvation here. This is Calvary's mountain. And here's what Jesus said. He charted the path, and in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting life. And so Jesus tells us, he goes on in chapter 16, go down to verse 24, and he says, "If anyone desires to come after me," this is the requirement. You deny yourself, I already said it once in the message. You get rid of yourself, and you take up his cross, and you follow him. Okay? In other words, you crucify your own desires, your own flesh. But we want to live together. Get married then. Okay? This is a license, okay? This is the way you do it. I watched one year, you know, I didn't preach any different. I'm not going to preach any different because, hey, the guy, you know, there's a guy and girl coming to the carpet shop, man. They both own a good business. They got a lot of money. I'm not going to change preaching to suit them. Okay? The truth is what? The truth. Okay? So he says, if you desire to come to me, you take up your cross and you follow me. I learned a long time ago the church is made up of a lot of people that have made a lot of mistakes. From the pulpit to the pews. We're all sinners, okay? That's why I just go ahead and talk about it and just get it out there on the table because you know it already. I know it already. And when I'm preaching things like that that hit your closet, I'm not preaching at you, okay? I'm talking to you because the Holy Spirit has deposited into my spirit, okay? So it's just the truth, and the truth does what to people? It sets them free, okay? It sets us all free. So you take up your cross and you follow him. Mount Calvary is the mountain of salvation. And if you haven't climbed it, maybe the Lord is speaking to you today and he's asking you to take the first step toward Mount Calvary and deny yourself. As a matter of fact, this is a good place to stop right here. We got plenty of time. Is there anybody in this room right now that this is as far as we've gone in the message and you'd say, you know what, man, I hear you, Pastor. I don't know much about you, but my name is Wallace. I hear you, and I don't know much about you, but already you have said things that have made me a little uneasy in my spirit, and I need to take a step toward Calvary. Can I just see your hand? I need to walk toward Calvary. God bless you. Anybody else? I just need to walk toward Calvary a little closer. Come on, anybody. God's dealing. God bless you. God bless you. God's dealing with you to walk toward Calvary, okay? To walk toward Calvary. Anybody else? We got three or four hands already for salvation. Anybody else? Anybody else? Walk toward Calvary. Accept Jesus Christ as the only way. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Anybody else before we move on? All right? At the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to come, okay? And you're going to have a counselor. A man or a woman of God is going to help you, and they're going to lead you through in that salvation prayer, okay? So let's keep on rolling, all right? It's a nice stroll, preacher. Go ahead. So, if you look at the second mountain, the second mountain is a mountain of choice. It's called Mount Carmel. How long stand ye halted between two opinions? It's a choice. It's the choice mountain. I've been to Mount Carmel. Man, what a view. What a tremendous view to look out on and see what Elijah saw. And they go into this battle of showing who God is, okay? I tell you what, let the God who answers by fire, let him be God. Okay? If God is able to come down and just set your wood on fire, then he's God. And the prophets of Baal, worldliness, ungodliness, the prophets of Baal, they pleaded with their God. They shouted to their God. They did everything, and no fire. Okay? So Elijah has a good idea. Let's just put ourselves at a grave disadvantage. Let's just bring a big old horse tub out here and sink our wood and just soak it wet so it can't burn. And let's just see what we can do here. And so they just made their wood wet. And God just sets that pile of wet wood on fire and shows that he's what? He's God. If he wants it to burn, it's going to burn, okay? And so let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Elijah says to the people in 18:21 of 1 Kings, Elijah went out before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. We got a lot of Baal worship today in the world. Got a lot of people following Baal. Okay? This ungodliness, immorality. And Mount Carmel presents us with a tremendous amount of distractions, worldly habits, wrongful desires. You have to choose who's going to be God in your life. This is a smartphone. I remember when James Dobson, I used to listen to him a lot, wonderful man of God. I remember when James Dobson came out one day on his broadcast, Focus on the Family, and said, well, you heard about the World Wide Web, the WWW, and he said, I'm convinced that it is an amazing tool and it's going to help us a lot. But he said, it can be, in fact, a web. And it can be, because you can take this tool right here, and you can, you've heard me say it before, I can just say, Siri, and I'm not going to do it because it'll happen. I already paid the mortgage this month. I can say, Siri, pay my house payment. And she'll do it. Because I have it set up that way that all I got to do is push the button and tell her what to pay, and she'll pay it. I got a note, you know, on my phone last week, Progressive Auto, your insurance is due. I said, Siri, pay my car insurance. Bling! A ping in 10 seconds, it's over with. My insurance is paid. You can take this phone right here, and you can be traveling. You know, I was traveling a couple weeks ago, and I was on my way to destination. Hey, Siri, what's the weather in? And she can say, tomorrow in so-and-so, it's going to be, so you know how to pack, right? You got so much ability right here, and the internet has created new ways for you to sin. So how many porn peepers do we have in the house? How many, you know, like, hey, nobody knows this, so wow. And you say, yeah, that's the way men are. No, there's more women today in the United States looking at porn than men, than there ever were men. Okay? Just looking, man, that's all. Well, so you're going to keep on peeping at porn on your smartphone, or will you choose the purity of your mind? I remember my son used to have a bumper sticker on his gig bag. When he was traveling musician, they were doing groups and gigs around. Matt and Josh played together and sang together many times. And I remember seeing Josh's gig bag. That's, for those of you who don't know what a gig bag is, it's what you put all your musical stuff in, okay? So in his gig bag, he had this big black bumper sticker that said, porn rapes your mind. Wow. I said, Josh, that's heavy, man. He said, yes, it's heavy, but it's true, Dad. It's just like if you look at pornography, it's just like something came in and violated and raped your brain. And it's been proven that if you look at pornography on a consistent basis, physiologically, chemically, stuff starts happening to your brain, breaking down. I'm telling you, man, if you want your mind raped, keep peeping. Okay? So you're going to stand here between peeping or purity of mind. You can't waver here. You got to make a decision. So you're going to keep on intentionally placing yourself at work in front of that guy because he's so nice to me, and I like him. I just feel like we're connected. Okay, you keep feeling connected. What about your husband at home? You keep feeling connected, and the chemistry's just right, and it just seems like, you know, if I wasn't married, oh, come on, shut your mouth. Are you going to stay chemically connected, or are you going to stay connected to the covenant that you made at a holy altar before God and these witnesses? Come on, come on. Okay? How long are you going to waver here between all these opinions? Will you speak profanity? Will you cuss your wife out? And then Sunday you're speaking in tongues at Carpenter Shop Church. Come on. I've heard people say it before, Pastor, there's a side of my husband you just don't know. You see him in church. I've had people say that to me before. I've had people say this to me, Pastor, you know my wife in the context of Carpenter Shop. You've never seen her at home, how she treats us. Okay? Hello? Anybody home? I'm ringing your doorbell. Come on. So, do you have this profanity that you speak all week and somehow you manage to still, you know, worship the Lord and speak in tongues on Sunday? How long are you going to waver between this? You know, are you going to decide that you're going to live a pure life and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak and you're going to only speak godly things? In fact, Paul tells one church in Ephesus, he says, listen, let only things come out of your mouth that are good for building folk up. How many ever felt built up by having somebody cuss you out? Okay? Come on. I've been cussed out plenty of times. I've been cussed out at church business meetings. You may find that hard to believe, but I've been in a church business meeting before and someone in the congregation stand up and cuss me out. Yeah. You're the presbyter. We're going to get rid of you. This is our church. Not really, okay? It's not really your church, okay? You think it is, but it's not. So you got to make your mind up and decide how you're going to live and how you're going to speak. Do you have a Sunday lifestyle and then all the rest of the days of the week, your standards go out the window? Okay? Or do you serve the Lord all the days of your life? How long are you going to waver between two opinions? How long are you going to get in a position where all you can do is fail to temptation because that's what you want to do? I remember when I was a student at Southeastern University studying for the ministry, Lakeland, Florida. Man, I was a freshman. My wife and I lived in a little 600-square-foot apartment. I said 600, okay? I could sit on the bathroom and wash my feet on the toilet. I could go in the kitchen, and if you open the oven door, you can't open the kitchen cabinet. Everything was just jammed up in one little 600-square-foot spot, okay? Me and Joy and Josh and Abby, that's where we lived. And I had a rigged up washing machine because you couldn't have a washing machine. I found out you could if you knew how to do it. So, and I got me a garden hose and a little portable 110 washing machine that you could wash about two bath towels and a washcloth in. And I rigged that thing and we ran all the washing machine water down the bathroom bathtub. And that was better than $16 a week at the laundromat. Okay? So, you know, we lived in that apartment, and we were struggling, man. I've sat at the table when Joshua was sitting across the table, you know, and we're all sitting there in our little table, little tiny table, and he's crying. I said, "What you crying about, Josh?" And Josh would say, "I don't want this." I said, "What are you talking about?" "All we ever have is beans." Okay. "All we ever have is beans, and we never have any dessert. All we ever have is popcorn." Well, guess what? My income affords beans and popcorn, okay? Rice, okay? That's the way we lived. I'm just telling you. That's the way we live. We talked about that last night, a sacrificial. You said, "Well, I've been to your house now." Yeah, but I paid for years, okay? Years I sacrificed, and God gave me what I have now. So don't gloat over that, okay? I put God first, and God, guess what? God may be a long time paying, but he pays, man. He does. He will reward you, okay? And so we sacrificed for years. And I was in the middle of Bible college, and I was struggling, and I went down there, and I filled out Polk County Social Services. I filled out for those food stamps. And when I signed my name on the application, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Don't do this." I said, "God, all of my friends in college are doing this." He said, "All of them don't have to do it. Don't do it." And I got back home, I remember. Pastor Joy said, "How'd it go?" I said, did you get them, or are we going to get food stamps?" I said, "No." But I wasn't turned down. She said, "What happened?" I said, "I couldn't fill it out." She said, "Well, I didn't think you were when you said you were. I just knew that's just not us." She said, "Honey, God will provide." I said, "Yes, he will." And guess what? He did. And I'm sitting, I'm at work one day. I work 2 days a week, nights, so I could go to college in the day. And I remember going into that facility where I was working, and I was making $13 an hour at the time, and all of my friends were minimum wage hamburger flippers at McDonald's and stuff, and I was making good money. And I remember taking a break on my job. And I remember going to the bathroom, and I sat there, and I looked over to the right. You know where I'm sitting, right? Okay. I looked over to the right where the toilet paper holder was, and there was a wallet sitting there. And I go, and this is long before the days of direct deposit, okay? Long before the days of cell phones. And I looked at that wallet, and man, it was running over with green stamps. And, I mean, $100 bills were just stacked in there. It was payday. And this is, like I said, direct deposit is not even a thought, okay? And those $100 bills are just hanging out of that wallet. And let me be honest with you. I was born again. I was spirit-filled. I spoke in tongues. And I'm in college to prepare myself for the ministry. And the first, somebody say first, thing to hit my brain was, nobody will know. And the second thing to hit my brain was, you are paying your tithes. Oh. So nobody will know. And perhaps I justified this, because you can make the Bible say whatever you want to make it say. I justified this and I said, maybe this is my reward for living such a faithful life with the little that I do make. Okay. Yeah, are you all with me here? Are you sitting in the bathroom with me right now hearing what I'm hearing? Okay. Okay. And so I thought, what? Where did that come from? And I knew that was the Holy Ghost, okay? There was no noise in there, man. It's definitely silent. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me and said, Wallace, turn that in. So I completed my reason for going in there, and I washed my hands. And I washed my hands 20 years ago, okay? And I completed everything, and I walked into the supervisor's room, and I said, hey, I said, I was using the bathroom on my break a while ago, and I said, this was in the bathroom. He said, good gracious. He saw it too. He said, my goodness, whose is it? And he pulled out the ID. He said, oh, he's the supervisor. He gets on the microphone. He says, hey, John Daly, would you come to supervisor's office, please? And the guy comes in. I never will forget it. The guy comes in, and he's like, yeah, what is it? What is it? He's just frustrated. You know what I'm talking about? He's wearing his feelings. He said, what is it? He said, hey, here, the other employee here found your wallet. He ain't found my wallet. My wallet's right in my... And he stops. He said, this is your wallet. He said, wow. He said, where did you find it? I said, it was in the bathroom. And he stood there and he looked at it and he said, man, why did you bring it back to me? He said, I went on my break. I took my lunch hour. I cashed my check. He said, my life is a mess, man. He said, my wife is dying of cancer. And he said, I got so much on my mind. I got to pay bills. I went and cashed my check. Why are you giving this back to me? You could have taken. He said, look at there. My 2 weeks of pay is in there in cash. Why are you giving this to me? And I was able to look at him and say, John, several years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I said, the reason that I gave it to you is because I could not keep it. And I said, man, you don't know the life that I'm living now, man. I mean, I'm meager fare, man. I bought my last vehicle for $300. I got a $99 Earl Shad paint job on it. And I said, it's ragged as all get out, but we get to school and to church, okay? And I was able to minister to that guy for a long time because I was able to follow the Lord when I was, here we go, wavering between two decisions. Come on. My God. Somebody said, well, he preached that message yesterday. No, not this one. That was yesterday, okay? I made a decision. Why? Because Carmel is the mountain of choice. Mount Carmel is the mountain of choice. It's the mountain of decision. It's where you have to choose between two opinions, okay? And verse 1 Kings 18:39 says that when the people of God, when all the people saw it, those who were Baal worshipers, those who were worshipers of Yahweh, when they saw that, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He's God. The Lord, He set the wet wood on fire. He's God. And God showed Himself mighty and strong through the words of the prophet Elijah. Today we need believers who will uncompromisingly declare that Jesus is Lord in front of a society that is plagued with Baal worship, in front of a society that chooses ungodliness. Mount Carmel is a mountain of choice. You can scale Mount Carmel because you've already been to Mount Calvary. Okay? You can make right choices. Why? Because you've been to Calvary's mountain. And your life is never the same. Okay? Jesus died for you. Jesus was buried. Jesus resurrected. He poured out the Holy Ghost to fill you. And you can scale the mountain of choice when you're facing choices because God has given you the divine ability to say no to ungodliness. There's a third mountain. It's a final one. Mount Calvary, Mount Carmel. Then there's Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the mountain of purpose. Mount Zion is the mountain of purpose. It's the heavenly city. I remember growing up in the Baptist church. How many of y'all grew up Baptist besides me? Turn to hymn number 377. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upwards to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Come we that love the Lord and let our joy be known. I can do all that. You know why? Because it's years ingrained in me. Mount Zion is the beautiful city of God. But you've come to Mount Zion, Hebrews says, chapter 12, 22 and 23. But you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Zion in the Bible is always a beautiful picture of the church. Okay? Beautiful picture of the church. Amazing thing is that once you come to, let's watch the mountains now. We're going from mountain to mountain. We're going from Mount Calvary where we give our lives to Jesus. And then we're tested and tried all these years. We got to make decisions and we trust Christ. On the mountain of decision on Mount Carmel, we have to choose Christ all the time. And He wants us to choose also to make certain that we're always a part of Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a type of the church, the company of believers who love one another, serve one another, care for one another. They've been mountain climbers, and they've climbed Calvary, and they've climbed Carmel. But now they're choosing the mountain of Zion, the Lord's church. They serve their pastor. They give their time, their treasure. They're making coffee and making sure the pastor's got enough strength to preach today. Thank you, Deani. She hit me with her best shot this morning. Ice cold coffee. She run it over. I said, you're just trying to make the pastor happy, giving him a double portion. They serve the church. They serve the pastor. They're on Mount Zion. They give their time, their treasure, their talents. They fellowship with brothers and sisters. They lead the lost to Jesus. They love the unlovable. They stand in the gap. They make up the heads. They uphold righteous standards. They tell the truth. They live the Bible. They walk in the Spirit. They talk in the Spirit because they're a part of the Zion mountain. They have come to the church of the living God. And Zion is the mountain that week after week after week, I climb into my car and I ride on over to the church and I'm involved and I'm going to the tailgate party with the women and I'm doing gather and I'm going to go to the men's conference. Why? Because you love to climb on Mount Zion. You love the Lord's church because you've been to the mountain. You've seen what God has done in your life and you've made decisions that have stood for righteousness' sake. And you cannot turn your back. You're going to walk to Mount Zion every chance you get. I come to understand this is how you clearly see the path to revival. And God changes your life as he's changed mine. And you love him and you do everything you can to serve him. Musicians, join me here. You want to serve the Lord. You want to put him first. You want to make certain that you're doing everything that you can. You're tithing your income. Amen. You're doing everything you can to do what God requires because you've discovered that it's really worth it. It's really worth it. And besides, you know, when you're a part of Zion, when you go to Mount Zion, you have the joy of knowing other people. Amen. You get to connect with James Morgan. Come on, somebody. Hey, James, what's up, man? You know Jerry Hardy, Pastor Jerry Hardy, and Pastor Ted Stricker. You know Paul Outlaw, Margaret Speller. You get to connect with other people on Mount Zion. And you love one another sincerely. I met this brother today, man, who's that guy? Who's that guy? Hey, my name's Joe. Joe, the Lord, I see the Lord on you, man. I see the Lord on you. Stand up, would you? I see the Lord on you. I see that God has gifted you uniquely. I don't know anything about you, but I see some unique spiritual giftings inside of you. Some of you say, man, you don't even know the guy. He got long hair and probably, I don't give a rip about his hair. Nice hair, man. I don't give a rip about your hair, but I hear the Lord say there's tremendous giftings inside of you. And God has uniquely positioned you, and he's getting ready to unlock, unzip. And he's getting ready to allow you to release. Hear that word, release. He's going to allow you to release some of your giftings that people have overlooked and sometimes even criticized. Okay? Am I saying the right thing here? Am I saying what the Lord's already dealing with you about? And God's going to do that. And because of you, hear this. There will be people who will come to Christ that have been judged unfairly and unwrongly, and people will turn to you because they feel comfortable with you. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. Come on. I don't know Joe, but I know his spirit. Come on. Come on, just pray. Just pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I have preachers come? Leaders come? Stand at the front here. Hallelujah, Lord. In the early part of the service, I had you raise your hand, stand, if whatever. Remember what we did. Raise your hand if you feel like you need to make a step toward Calvary. Would you step out of your seat and just tell them, hey, I raised my hand for Calvary. Come on, someone back over here, you raised your hand for Calvary. Come on. I raised my hand for Calvary. Just come. I want to walk the steps of Calvary today. Salvation today. Amen. Look at that, man. Tears flowing. Tears flowing. Heart wide open. Shee-pa-pa. Come on, stand up here, man. You're a preacher. I'm going to send you some people to minister to. Come on, sis. Preacher of the gospel. We can use you right here. Stand there. There's some people here today. We've got the Calvary people. There's some today who need to have more strength when it comes to making decisions. You're on the mountain of Carmel, okay? Guess what? I was in Carmel just a couple of weeks ago, okay? Make some decisions. Can't do that. You will always have some karma. You will. You'll always have some decisions to make. I know this is not the right thing. I just don't need to do that anymore. So if you're here and you just say, God, I need some protein powder to be able to stand and scale Carmel better. Come on, don't be ashamed. Be thankful that today you have a chance to come and let somebody lay their hand on you and agree with you in the name of Jesus that he's going to give you strength. Come on, stand up and come. Stand up and come right now. Let someone pray with you for divine strength. Come on, that's right. Just find you somebody. Just stand in front of somebody. They're going to pray with you. I need some Carmel strength. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Rabasa Tabo, Rabasa. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. And then there's Mount Zion. There's some folk who just, you know, you just feel like you need to get plugged in more. You need to do more for the church. You need to release your giftings, your abilities. Just release those giftings and abilities. Come on. Praise the Lord. That's right. Thank you, Pastor Ted. Just release those giftings and abilities. Just need to do more, Pastor. I'm not doing enough. I want to get plugged into Zion. Hallelujah. Shepalatable son. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Just come. Let somebody pray with you. Come on, guys. Let's worship God. Come on, worship team. Take us there. Hallelujah. Come on, if you need prayer in your body for healing, come on, I believe there's anointing to heal today. Anybody need healing in your body? Hallelujah. If you need healing, come stand right here. Healing in your body. Something happening that you need some healing in your body. You know? Right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Healing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just worship. Just worship. God's not done yet. Just worship. Just worship him. Worship him. Hallelujah. 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 Tank. You got to deal with that cantankerous boss you're working for tomorrow. That tractor that gives you a problem tomorrow. Hallelujah. Come on, no problems today, man. I'm on the mountain. I'm on the mountain of Zion. with thousands in joyful assembly. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Do it, God. Do it, Lord. Take your phones right now and mark on your calendar 26, 27, 28, 29. Don't plan any Girl Scout meetings, no extra income earning that week. Just separate yourself. Services at the church. Come on. Let's fill the house up. Bring the lost, bring the sick, bring those who are diseased, bring people who need Jesus. Come on. Restoration 21. Go ahead and plan on it right now. Go ahead and fix your meal plan. So you'll have it. What are we going to? We got to eat before we go to church. Go ahead and plan it now. Get yourself two or three heads of lettuce and make a bunch of salad. You got it made. All right. Shabba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Hallelujah. Come on, I just can't get a release that this is over with. Anybody else need healing in your body? I need healing in my body. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Man, God's healed my body in the last couple of weeks. They said you're probably going to have rotator cuff surgery. Nope, not going to have that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at that. That ain't a rotator cuff. I'm swimming to Jesus, man. That's a bad rotator cuff right there. Oh yeah, you got a rotator cuff that's messed up. Really? Praise God. No, you got a machine that don't know what it's talking about. I'm Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I just feel healing, man. I feel healing. Am I getting this? I feel healing. Is there somebody who needs healing? Come on. You need healing. There you go. Don't pass this by. Come on. You need healing in your body. God is present to heal. Hallelujah. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. you're here today. Here's what you need to take from this message today. What mountain are you on right now here in this building? Mount Zion. Okay? We're in the Mount Zion. We're in the church. And the reason that you're in Mount Zion today is because you love the gathering of thousands in joyful assembly. You're a part of the kingdom of God. And you are being nurtured and equipped and encouraged, because when you go outside of these doors, you're in a world that is indifferent to the things of God. Okay? And so you then are met with a huge cascade of mountains called what? Carmel. Okay? The Carmel Range, they call it. When you go to Israel, to the Holy Land, they say, check out that. What's that? Well, that's the range of Carmel Mountains. And you ride another 10 miles. What are those mountains over there? Oh, we're still on the Carmel Range. There's a bunch of them, man. Everywhere you look, it's not just one mountain, okay? It's a range of mountains. And you're in Zion this morning, and you're being infused with Holy Ghost power and abilities, because you got to punch the clock tomorrow and go back to work, and the one that you have such a struggle with on the job, you got to go there. And then you got to deal with society and how they're handling this pandemic thing. It gets on your skin, and you need the Holy Ghost, okay? And the only reason you can scale Carmel is because you've been to Zion today, because you're here. Why? Because you went to Calvary, okay? And you're here. Did something supernatural happen in your life today? I'm looking at you here. You came to the altar. Did something supernatural happen today? Come here if you don't mind. The congregation needs to hear this. Okay? Now I'm going to show you something. Show you something that just works. Just, I love what you were just saying, but I want everybody to hear this. And guess what? 182 nations of the earth are going to hear what you're saying right now. So remember that, okay?
Touch my heart today, because we've been living in sin, because we've been living together and we're not married. And so that just weighed heavy on my heart.
I do good weddings too. I do good weddings. But listen, here's the thing though. Look at what you did. The truth. Yes. Now you're just, there's a glow about you today. And guess what? Hey, you got a pastor standing right there. I'm a pastor. There's preachers all over the place here. We can get you married today, tomorrow, next week, or whatever. Okay? And guess what? You know what? In one calendar year, six couples, somebody say six. Six couples in this church got married that were doing what? Living together. Okay? And the same person who points the finger at you and says, oh, they're shacking up. They got sin in their life too. Okay? So no need to judge anybody. Why are you going to look at the beam in the little spot in somebody else's eye when you got a beam in yours? So the thing of it is, today you came to freedom. Okay? And the devil, I promise you, this man can tell you, when you step out of that door today, the devil's going to be in the car before you can get it running. And he's going to say, oh, that wasn't real. And look at you. You're not going to do anything any different. Don't receive those lies, okay? Because God, you're on a new path now. You're charting a new course. You've just been to Carmel today, and you've made a choice. And I'm so proud of you. Come on, are you proud of this woman right here? Come on. So proud of you, and just allow God to continue what He started in your life today. Amen. You got a word today from the Lord?
Yes. I'm also saying I'm not married either, and we stay together.
All right. So, hey, where do we go from here?
Make it right.
Make it right. Come on. Now we got some weddings to do here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. God's listen. You can use the church. It don't cost you anything. The preacher's not going to take any money from you. Come on. Hey, we do a good reception too, man. We'll get a cake. Come on.
Freedom is in this house. Freedom is in this house. Whom the Son sets free, It's free indeed. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy on this place. We thank you, Lord, for the mighty outpouring of your Spirit in the women's meeting yesterday and in the men's meeting here and all across the state. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to make eternal difference with those whom we come in contact with. We thank you, Lord, that we have value to your kingdom. And we take it seriously here. We want to please you. We want to please you, Lord. So we ask you to let us hear your voice. Speak to us individually, that we might follow you closer and closer and bring eternal change. We love you, Lord. We're your servants. We serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hey, go by the coffee shop. Iced coffee back there. Go by the coffee shop. Fellowship among yourselves. You might want to do this sometime during the week. You might want to go to the Facebook page or YouTube, CSIC Media, and listen to this message again. Just let it get down in your spirit. Listen, you preach the truth. You don't condemn people. And what happens? God touches their hearts, and the Holy Spirit allows them to come to freedom and liberty. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day.